Black blood, violence, freaks of nature? Well, then come on down to Captain Spaulding's Museum of Monsters and Madmen. Yeah, see the alligator boy. Ride my famous murder ride. Most of all, don't forget to take home some of my tasty fried chicken. Ha ha! It just tastes so damn good.
The revolution will be broadcast.
From the haunted backbones of America and live from the G&D Show Studio, this is your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Hey, welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only mystifying oracle of radio, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Hello, hello. Demon Hunter, can you hear me?
I was waiting for my cue. You always say my name before we get started. Come on.
Demon Hunter!
Huh? Don't throw me off there, man.
It's Sunday night! Time to get back on the airways and do it to it.
Well, you know, I gotta say, I am more than happy to do it to it tonight because we have quite a show in stall for everybody.
We do have quite a show.
In store. No, we don't drink on this show, never. We never do that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I know. Tonight's been a real humdinger. Brought to you by Dale's Pale Ale from the mountains of Colorado, Rocky.
We are just lucky that all the equipment required to bring the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show out to the public where it is needed so badly.
It is needed.
It didn't get destroyed in the horrible blizzards that tore through our town and almost buried us alive.
Yeah, that's funny you bring that up because everybody out here in the Midwest has been getting hit by snow. I was flying out this week, Demon Hunter. You know this.
Did your arms get tired?
Yeah, I got sore. I went to beautiful, if you want to say, Dallas, Texas. I'm not a big fan of Dallas.
No?
Little really? Side note. I'm not a big fan of Dallas, but I did go out there, and I had some business to do. So I've never actually went to a place and flown all day long for a one-hour meeting. And then I flew back, Demon Hunter.
No, we have flown across the entire country
right.
for a one-day meeting and then flown all the way back.
Right. Well, one day, though, you know. We actually did some work when we were out there. This was 1 hour, and I had to race back to... I actually got in Dallas. This is the funny thing about flying. I arrived in Dallas at 11:30. I had a meeting, right, at 1 p.m. And, I had to run back, and I had a departure at 3 p.m. at the airport. Huh? You know, I got that feeling in my stomach. You know the feeling where you start getting the butterflies, and you're like, I'm not going to make it, because I only had, like, one more flight out.
Yeah.
You know? And I thought, I'm not going to make this.
Oh, good grief.
That's right, Charlie. And I ran to the airport, and the guy was smoking a cigarette, though, at the, because the meeting was at a hotel boardroom, big, fancy boardroom, and I walked in there and I did the meeting and I walked out and it was about 2 o'clock. So I walked outside the beautiful hotel, the Wyndham Dallas, and the shuttle bus driver was smoking a cigarette. I think his name was Bubba Joe, and we'll call him Bubba Joe. He was eating a beef jerky, smoking a cigarette, and he had his hands stuffed down his pants, front or back, I'm not going to specify, but he did. He had his hands stuffed down his pants. I said, "Listen, Bubba, you know, I need to get to the airport, man. I got to catch my flight right at 3 p.m. And he was like, "Don't worry about it. I get you there." So anyway,
suddenly it was the file clerk from the movie Monsters Inc., right?
So. Yeah, absolutely. Oh yeah, that lady. But yeah, they got me there and wheels up, and we were right on schedule. I was scheduled to arrive. I got in the air at 7:30 in the morning. Scheduled to arrive back home in beautiful Indianapolis, Indiana, at 8:30 p.m. Well, thanks to Houston International Airport, or Houston Hobby, whatever. I took a four and a half hour delay, and got
Did you
home.
Take the delay on the plane?
Huh?
Were you sitting on the plane for the delay?
No.
I'm ready for six.
I was sitting in the airport, which I did watch on my phone on Netflix, some, you know, episodes of The Walking Dead. So
there you go.
Yeah, it was all right. Got to rewatch some of Rick and The Walking Dead and killing some zombies. So it went pretty fast. But still, man, air travel. I'm not looking forward to it, Demon Hunter.
Well, you remember what it was like when you and I were traveling all over the country, you know, not just for TV, but even when we first got into radio, if we heard there was a chance to be somewhere, we were there. We hopped on a plane. We flew across the country. We drove. And there was that day that I had to get back to my day job.
Yeah.
And we had like one day to get me back, or like half a day to get me back. And the plane, we got to me right to the airport just on time. I jumped on the plane. And the second we got in the air, there was, you're the guy who knows airlines. What do they call it? With the planes moving all over.
Travel?
No, it was bopping up and down and shaking back and forth.
Oh, turbulence.
Thank you. The second we got in the air, there was turbulence. Turbulence in the entire flight. They would not let us get out of our seats. And I had to use the bathroom so bad.
Yeah.
Like, I just had, I mean, and we're talking a number two here, crowning, trying to hold it in, kind of problem.
It was turtling, buddy. It was popping out. Danger, danger.
Yeah. You know, I was giving birth here, and they're telling me to hold it, and it was not a good scene. And finally, we land, and I've got 20 minutes between our landing and my getting on the other plane. And, you know, they start loading the plane 20 minutes.
Is this a turd story?
No, well, it is in the fact that I rushed across the entire airport. I think I landed in Baltimore. I'm running across the airport as fast as I can. See the first restroom, run into it, sit down, start using the restroom, and suddenly I realize I did not check to see if I was running into a men's room or a women's room.
Oh, good grief.
And all I could think was, oh, my God, what if I'm in the women's room? Right. I didn't check before I ran in. Yeah. And, you know, somebody walks in and uses the stall next to me.
You know what?
I look down, and I see sandals.
And you see sandals, and then you hear
and there's really well manicured like toenails involved with these sandals, and
I'm sitting there
going, well, you know, it is the age of like man grooming going on here, you know, the metrosexuals. Maybe it's a guy's room, but I can't ask, because if it's a woman's room, I'm getting arrested.
You could have knocked and said, excuse me.
Something's got to go here. I got to know if I'm in this room. And that person gets up and leaves and washes their hands. And I'm thinking, oh, no, they're washing their hands. It is a woman's room. They leave. And next I hear someone come in with a little kid. Oh, and the little kids get, and you hear the changing table come down. And I just hear the kid going, mommy, mommy, mommy. And I'm like crying in my hands because I know that I'm about to go to jail if anybody sees me in this restroom. And then I hear a man's voice go, mommy can't come in here. And I was just like, yes, yes.
See, there you go. And some man sat down to you and it got real quiet, sat right next to you on the throne and heard.
I'm here for the gangbang?
Yes.
All he heard was, yes, yes. And he grabbed his son and ran out of there.
The man said, yoo-hoo.
I'm here for the gangbang.
You said, no, I'm crowning. Oh, that's terrible. That's classic Demon Hunter.
And that is Ghostman and Demon Hunter travel stories, ladies and gentlemen. More to come.
On the back roads. Yeah, but anyway, I'm glad to be out of there. It's rough. I remember when you and I, proper English tonight, was traveling a lot, man. We lived in the airports, and I'm done with them. I hate them, but, you know, what are you going to do? So, what are you going to do, Demon Hunter? What are you going to do?
You know, that's the world of, like I said, we've been dealing with these storms. Who knows what made that happen?
I don't know. I don't know what happened, guys. We apologize.
That's live radio for you, folks. If only you could have heard me. If only you could have heard me saying.
Heard you.
If only I was up there in the hills, and if you could have just heard me yelling for you there, Sean. I would.
Well, it could have been. I mean, you know, it could have been the snow outside. I don't know. What, we were off like a minute, maybe. So, No big deal, guys. We're picking it right back up. We hope we're going out live on, just in case, we got the recording locally going too. So,
just in case anything goes wrong there, yeah.
Yeah, just in case. Guys, if you are in the chat room, let us know. You can still hear us. I don't know. I haven't checked the chat room in a while, Demon Hunter. But if you guys are in there, that's at ghostanddemon.com. Check it out. Let us know you can hear us. Once again, this is the Mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghostman Demon Hunter show. And we were talking about Demon Hunter having to go to the bathroom when he was in an airport. And the
that's my big story, Sean. I tell that story at parties now. It gets quite a laugh.
It does. Do you remember the one that I told you? I was coming back from Jimmy John's. Shameless plug. And I went there to eat. I had had a big hoagie sandwich and I was racing back to work, my place of business, and I got down this old country road, and there was nothing. I mean, no gas stations, no nothing. It was the patch between my work and the business area, so it was nothing but country. And I got out there, and I started sweating, and I got those cramps. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
I got those cramps in my stomach, and I said, uh-oh! We got a problem here, Houston. And what happened was I felt the cramps happening, and I hit every stoplight coming back. And I was at the stoplight, and I was literally setting up in my seat. You know how you cramp up, and you're like, oh, no, I'm not going to make it, So I hit, as far as I could, and I seen a cemetery to the right of me. It was a small cemetery. And I thought, well, I'm not going to make it. I see my work. It was about a mile down the road. I could see the tower from where it was at. And I said, I'm not going to make it. It's either my car or out here in the field. So there's a cornfield next to the cemetery. So I had an old dirty T-shirt in the back of my, car. And I hit the cornfield. And all I remember was squatting out in the cornfield and looking over at the gravestones through the cornfield. I want to add, I was not in the cemetery, but I was watching the stones just in case a zombie apocalypse happened, and I was, in an awkward position.
Oh, good grief.
Yeah. Indeed.
But it was a terrible experience, Demon Hunter. I was emotionally traumatized. It was, I was scared. Wonder if Jason or somebody like that, an axe murderer, would have been out there. The Bunny Man.
I know. I mean, what if Justin, a bunny, a killer bunny, could have jumped out and eaten you right then?
He could have went up my bunghole. You know what I mean?
Oh, grief.
So what else is going on in Demon Hunter on your side of the studio? Anything? How's the weather out there in Connecticut?
The snow has stopped, thank goodness. But it was still going this morning when I had to get up and head out to take care of some work. And that meant since I had to be out at by 7, I was out shoveling by 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Because I've been to my house out in the woods. I've got a half a mile long driveway that has to be shoveled out in the morning.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. You're out there.
Yeah, it was.
It's rural. I would think.
Right? There's guys walking by with carts yelling, maybe I guess that's not going to work. Never mind.
What are they yelling?
I had a cool joke lined up there, but it didn't work. It was on delay. Oh, there he goes.
Bring out your dead!
There you go.
Bring out your dead! You know, an interesting story. Monty Python and is it Simon Pegg? Who is it that played in Shaun of the Dead?
Pegg.
Yeah. Simon Pegg. He's been seen working with the Monty Python crew. So there's some rumors around there, Demon Hunter, about soon to come rebirth of Monty Python films, huh?
That would be nice. I would like that.
I know I'd love it. We're both you and I are both big fans of the Monty Python films, and they're big fans of the Ghostman Demon Hunter show broadcast. But hey, this just in: Lawrence of Arabia, Demon Hunter, star Peter O'Toole, dead today. At the age of 80 years old. 81, I'm sorry.
I tell you, people are dying today who never died before.
Yeah, that's true. The actor was 81 years old. Let's see here. He died. He battled stomach cancer, I guess, for a long time. And you might know him. He played in a lot of movies, actually. Peter O'Toole. 1930, 2002 to 2030, I'm sorry, 2013. Says, in one of his best and best-known roles, Peter O'Toole got a big laugh by declaring, "I'm not an actor, I'm a movie star." O'Toole, of course, was both. The honorary Oscar winner, Demon Hunter, passed away at age 81 today after a long illness at the Wellington Hospital in London. That's what his agent says. Steve Kennis tells the, whatever the name of this newspaper is. O'Toole was one of the most gifted performers of his generation, rising to fame almost with his starring role in Lawrence of Arabia and appearing in a variety of screen classics like Beckett, The Lion in Winter, My Favorite Year, The Last Emperor, and cult favorites like What's New Pussycat, The Ruling Class, and The Stuntman. He was also a larger-than-life personality whose hard-drinking, outspoken nature, and romantic escapades were nearly as well-known as his movies. O'Toole, the actor Demon Hunter, won the international acclaim, and O'Toole, the movie star, was dependable tabloid fodder. Huh?
Ah, and for those of you who didn't see any of the Shakespearean roles that, of which Sean speaks, he was also the voice of Anton Ego in Ratatouille.
There you go.
He has one of my favorite speeches of all time about how how easy it is to be a critic when all you have to do is pick on other people.
Same with skeptics. Let other people do the hard work, and then you could just dissect them. Anyway, so sorry to hear that. Peter O'Toole dead at age 81. You will be missed, sir. Rest in peace. Great actor, Demon Hunter.
I have enjoyed Peter O'Toole in many, many films. Just about anything you put on that he's appears on, you just sit there and go, wow.
Well, you remember that story he was in about, it had the chick from Mermaid with Tom Hanks in it? A real hot chick. I think
Splash.
It even had... Yeah, the chick from Splash, and he played the hotel keeper, and the hotel was haunted, and he was bringing people in to keep the hotel going. Do you remember that? Come on, you got to.
What was in the movie?
I don't know the name of it. That's why I was asking you if you remember or not.
I kind of do remember the movie. I just don't remember who was in it.
Well, yeah, you don't have to remember the cast.
Good grief.
I just thought that... hey, have you seen the Charlie Brown Christmas special yet? Because I haven't.
I've not gotten to see it yet. We keep asking ourselves... Oh, here we go. Peter O'Toole. Folks, if you don't remember from this, you won't remember from anything. King Ralph.
Yes! John Candy. John Candy was in it.
John Candy.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Not John Candy. John Candy was already dead at that point. It was John Goodman.
Oh, yeah, John Candy was passed away. It was John Goodman. Absolutely. It was.
You've got emotional problems, man.
Yeah. So.
Yes, now I remember, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, Peter O'Toole, you will be missed. What a great actor. British-born actor. And, another one bites the dust. That's terrible. I actually went to a funeral today, Demon Hunter.
You were telling me this.
Yeah.
That you wound up... in a funeral parlor once again. And I'm sorry that someone passed away. That's true.
It was a good friend of the some of the family, and he was a great guy. I met him, he had suffered from Parkinson's for years, and it was kind of a weird feeling. You know, people wanted to see him, you know, feel better and everything, and he was, you know, increasingly getting worse. And by the way, guys, you should donate to any Parkinson's program out there that's trying to raise money to cure Parkinson's, because it's a terrible disease and it ruins lives. But he's at peace now. He did pass away last Wednesday, and we went to show our respects today and everything. But it's not so much that. I didn't want to go into that, but we went to the funeral home, Demon Hunter. And I haven't been for a long time. And I remembered when I was a kid how creepy, you know, and I'm a weird guy. So when I was a weird kid, and I used to like to go to the funeral homes and look around. And you always try to imagine, ooh, what's behind the black door, you know, and of course, people that don't listen to the show, what's the black door, you say? There was always that secret door down in the break room where everybody would smoke and eat. And I never understood how you could eat at a funeral anyway, Demon Hunter.
Oh, I had friends who lived over a funeral home, so it
Well, over top of it's fine, but, you know, feet away from the dead body eating.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like those old episodes of movies where you walk in and the mortician is checking out the body and he sets his sandwich on top of the body in the middle of, like, and then picks it up and goes back to eating it. And you're just sitting there cringing.
Yeah. And he says, "Oh, my God," the coroner. Yeah. Yeah, anyway, I went there today, and I was looking around. I kind of revived the old feelings I had about, I went to the bathroom, and I was looking through the drawers. I didn't find any lipstick this time. Of course, if you go back to the story I was telling when I was like 13 or 14, me and my cousin ran around the funeral home, and we actually stumbled upon the bathroom, and it had lipstick, like a skin color lipstick, and my cousin was putting it on him, and of course, it was used for the deceased that they did. And we walked into a room that we weren't supposed to be. They had those sliding doors. And we'd actually flown around the funeral home. And we walked into one of those doors, Demon Hunter. And there was a body. They'd gotten it ready and brought it out for the showing. And we walked in there and they had coffee stir sticks. Those little red ones.
Yeah.
One in each nostril and one in each ear. And we thought, dude, that's weird. Somebody's been here messing with this body. And we went out and told the funeral director and the family who's coming in for the showing or whatever. And he's like, okay, like, go away, kids, right? So we found out later that those stir sticks are used for seepage when they embalm the body.
They stick cotton up the nose and in the ears and push them in with the sticks so that it stays in place.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Yeah, and it's they also glue the eyelids down so the eyelids don't pop open.
And they put a little bolt, I guess, in the top of your gums with a wire, and they pull your jaw shut. That's what I heard anyway.
It's there's a lot of stuff that goes into the preparation of a body for an open casket. Yes.
Preparation of the bodies. Demon Hunter, tonight's band, we forgot to mention our good friends from the UK, Zombina and the Skeletones, guys. Check out more about them anywhere on the net, worldwide net, at zombinaandtheskeletones.com. Actually, just Google Zombina and Skeletones. You'll find out where their music is and everything. That was some exclusive music off their new album that's due out, I believe, March 3rd. You can get your copy today. Just like I said, Google Zombina and the Skeletones. You heard it first. Yeah, you heard it first. Zombie and the Skeletones here on your G&D show.
And that's the music. Who might we be talking to this evening, Sean?
Yeah, that brings up a good point. That was the music. And as we keep going on, tonight's guest, Demon Hunter.
Yes.
Shadow Nation.
Da-da-da.
Tonight's guest, winner of the Universal Igor Award for Lifetime Achievement. Also, the prestigious Prima Maria Honorifica Award. He's been in over 60 films, 350 television episodes. And he's had the honor of working with such iconic directors as Quentin Tarantino, Rob Zombie, and Roger Corman. Sid Haig stops by, guys, from House of a Thousand Corpses, The Devil's Rejects, Little Big Top, one of my favorite ones, Demon Hunter, and much, much more. Dukes of Hazzard, all kinds of stuff from the old days. Star Trek. Huh? Yeah, we're going to find out, guys, about Sid Haig tonight on your G&D show.
Well, let me just say, man, you know my wife, Chrissy P, big fan of like suspense thriller movies, but not the gore horror films. Yeah. So I'm trying to explain to her, we were having Sig Haig on, and most of the people who I said, you know, we're going to have Sig Haig on tonight, they were going, Sig Haig? Really? Sig Haig? That's awesome. What a boon. That's great.
Yeah.
Chrissy, she's like, Sig Haig. And she's tapping her chin like she's trying to remember who Sig Haig is. And I'm like, well, he was in MacGyver. And she went, really?
Sid Haig, dude, was in everything. I mean, the guy was in everything. Dukes of Hazzard, right?
Oh, yeah.
He was in Dukes of Hazzard. He was in Star Trek.
I'm trying to remember Star Trek, because you would think that would be the big one for me to remember since I am the geek.
And the blaxploitation films of the 1970s, Foxy Brown, stuff like that. Yeah, he was cast mostly as a bad guy, a gun-toting thug which he played very well. But we're going to find out later. Sid stepped away from that for a while. He got sick of it. The man does a lot of good. I tell you what, I met Sid a couple times, and the man is amazing. You'd never know that he's a mega superstar demon hunter because he's just like me and you. He's the kind of guy you'd like to sit down and drink a beer with.
Well, you know, it's funny because you say how he got typecasted into these roles, and he was, and you know that you look at Sig, you think tough guy who's gonna like take you down if you push a little too far.
Oh, he's still a big guy. I wouldn't mess with him.
Where like people see you, they think you know the sturdy, you know,
sexy
investigator. They see me, they think ladies' man.
Right.
Because of the mustache, either that or they think Colonel Sanders.
Nice mustache, ghost boy.
I'm ready for sex.
I love that's what the mustache brings out of me. Shadow Nation, Demon Hunter. Without further ado, tonight's G&D in the news. It's always fresh. It's always exciting, and it starts. Right now. We're going to have to turn that down, Demon Hunter. It's cutting you out tonight, my friend, that new system you got. Huh?
I don't know. I sound like I'm going out just fine.
Now you're going out just fine. We must have been at the wrong decibel.
The max there, man. We were at the max.
We were at the max, but it's all fixed up now, little brother, and we are ready to go with tonight's news.
That's awesome. Let me see what I can do here, because, folks, for those of you who have never listened to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter news before, it is the G&D drinking game.
Drinking!
Sean and I pick the news by the titles.
Yes.
We don't read it beforehand, which means we don't know what kind of words we may stumble across. And since we've been drinking before the show, you get to drink during the show. Every time we make a mistake, you take a drink. Right. Of course, if you're listening to this show on a podcast or at a friend's house and planning to drive home, we recommend you take it easy on the drinking game because we don't want to lose all our favorite listeners. The Shadow Nation is important. We don't want you burning up in any horrible car crash, coming back as zombies, and then we'll have to kill you. So that's it, folks. In the news, drink along.
Drink along. That was so professional. You know, you're getting so good.
I try, man. I really do try.
Do you want me to lead off tonight, Demon Hunter?
Why don't you lead off? Because I'm opening the news now.
You open the news there with your fancy schmancy computer. As Demon Hunter so intelligently stated before, we do not read the news before, but we do drink heavily. So
we pick the news from the titles.
We do. The older we get, actually, the drinking heavily is more coffee than beer. But tonight's beer, guys, is Dell's Pale Ale. It's a good beer. It's kind of fruity with a hint of cinnamon.
I decided to go with a Blue Moon Belgian White tonight, Sean.
Belgian, huh? You got a thing for Belgians.
Hey, you know, they make nice hats.
They do it good. They got big horses or whatever. Huffington Post, guys, this is where it comes out. The Huff Post weird news. Thanks, guys. Former Ohio University lab employee, Demon Hunter, stole human bones.
Really?
Actually, yes, it did happen. Athens, Ohio, a former school employee is facing federal charges for allegedly stealing human bones from the anatomy laboratory at the Ohio University. 28-year-old Weston Henry Mulquin, drink up, guys, was charged this week with counts of transporting remains across state boundaries and stealing property from a federally funded agency. Oh, the feds got involved.
Uh-oh.
He's in trouble. Court documents say the Athens man took the bones between July 2011 and June 2012. That was kind of short, long delay there, guys. A long pause. Defense attorney Keith Yeasel told the Columbus Dispatch, that's really what his name is, don't drink. On Friday, well, you can drink if you want to. Keith Yeasel told the Columbus Dispatch on Friday that his client sold the bones to support a drug habit. Demon Hunter, much like yourself. I'm kidding. This dispatch reports a settlement agreement. Huh?
I need to have my NyQuil, man. I need it.
I sold the bones for NyQuil. The dispatch reports a settlement agreement, Demon Hunter. Get ready for this. Would require Moquin drink up again, guys, to pay more than $84,000 in restitution.
That's a lot of bones.
Yeah. Yeezel screams and please help us. Moquin is in a drug treatment program. That's their last hope. to evade the $84,000 restitution, he went to drug treatment.
Well, you know,
good move,
for $84,000. What would you do for $84,000, Sean?
I'd eat a Klondike bar.
That's about the best you would do? Okay.
I do, yeah.
I'm thinking you'd do just about anybody.
I'm ready for sex.
I would, well. Not anything, but I'd surprise you. I'd surprise you.
Sean, in the news.
What is it?
From the Huffington Post, naked man survives frigid night inside guitar case in Oklahoma.
In a guitar case?
In a guitar case.
Wow.
A semi-naked, dizzy... Have a drink, folks.
Dizzy.
Disoriented man was found wandering through an icy remote section of the of Oklahoma on Tuesday, according to KOTV.
Oh.
Zachary Adders had set off on a 26-mile walk through the frozen landscape to see a woman. There's always a woman, Sean.
Always.
But along the way, he got lost.
Oh.
Fell through the ice over the pond and survived the freezing temperatures by spending the night in a guitar case.
With his red hot love.
The Weather Channel reported.
Yeah.
When the Weather Report Channel is reporting that you survived the night, you know you did a good job. When strangers found him, he was clad only in boxer shorts because his other clothing was frozen solid. The Muskogee Phoenix reported.
Muskogee? Yeah, I think so.
There we go. He survived despite the temperatures dropping to 10 degrees in the Muskogee overnight, according to KOTV. Radio station KRMG, however, said that it was merely a brisk 35 degrees out that night. After stumbling across the lost Adders, calls for help were... Wait. After stumbling around lost, Adders called for help. Calls for help. Have a few drinks there, folks. Were heard by a man walking... working on his home. Oh man, now everybody's drunk and they're not going to enjoy the rest of the night. He kept on asking my husband, please don't let me die. My husband said, man, I'm not going to let you die. They're on their way to help you. Emily Shebley said. Adders, when treated at the hospital and released, police said that they believe he was under the influence of something when he embarked on his chilly marathon walk.
Okay.
So basically, he fell through a river, froze, ripped off his clothes, and spent the night inside a guitar case. No, I wouldn't believe he was on something for a second, Sean.
Then he jumped out of the guitar case and said,
I'm ready for sex.
He was good and hard.
Oh,
that's terrible. I did it, though.
His guitar wasn't the only thing he was strumming that night.
Dude, you can't even survive in a guitar. There's no insulation. I guess it's better than being out in the wind. I mean,
How big of a guitar was it? I mean, how small of a man is he? Well, I guess after falling into a freezing river, we're all kind of small.
Yeah. Oh, you're just coming out with it tonight, man. You know what I mean?
I try. Yeah,
you're all over the place. I'm proud of you.
I'm doing my best, man. I'm doing my best. Yeah,
you keep it up, buddy. Mountain lions prowl neighborhood, leaving residents on the edge. Demon Hunter.
Okay.
And this comes out of the Huff Post. Weird news. Thanks again, guys, for the news. Neighbors living in a foothill community of Los Angeles, no less, are on the edge as mountain lions prowl their neighborhood. I wonder if those mountain lions are celebrity mountain lions, if they've been in movies or whatever.
Huh? They escaped.
No, they could have. Residents of La Crescenta, California, drink up, guys. Say they are, maybe Sid can answer that. Crescenta, California. Say they are worried about their dogs being eaten and about the protection of their families. One family is convinced that a mountain lion ate its Jack Russell Terrier, Bridget. Huh?
That's horrible, Sean.
It is. It's awful. I saw a crimson-red color of something about that size, and I thought, oh, God, no, Kim Matterstag said, who found traces of Bridget in her La Crescenta yard, said to CBS. What kind of traces do you think she found? Did, like, little Bridget have, like, a sweater on that said Bridget or what?
Little sparkly collar.
Maybe it was the lizard man.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even think of that. Mm-hmm. Bigfoot ate her dog.
Bigfoot likes to dine on dogs. She was the light of our life, and she was part of the family. And Matterstags are not alone, Demon Hunter. Other residents have reported mountain lion sightings. And in August, a mountain lion was spotted on an elementary school campus, in La Crescenta. In response, fearful residents of the area gathered in a public meeting this week to air their concerns about wild animals. KTLA reports in the video above. Of course, you guys can't see the video, and I'm not going to play it because we don't have time. It will come back. It will attack. It will be hungry. Kind of sounds like a zombie apocalypse, something that they would say. We will survive. Say the problem is the worst it's ever been. On Tuesday, a mountain lion was tranquilized in the resident's backyard in a Los Angeles neighborhood of Laverne. Like Laverne and Shirley. Which, like La Crescenta, is in the foothills of the Angeles National Forest.
What you up to, Laverne?
Angeles National Forest. Right. Because we're going to make it. Remember that song? Give us any chance, we'll take it, huh?
I don't sing, Sean.
Give us any rule, we'll break it. I sing for the both of us. That's from Laverne and Shirley, folks, if you...
I don't sing and I don't swim.
I don't sing because they're predatory. They're so sneaky and you don't know they're there, Matterstag said. That's why they're dangerous, plus that and the full mouth of razor-sharp teeth. Fish and wildlife officials advise residents to raise and trim their bushes, Demon Hunter. I advise that of all women listen to the show as well. Oh, ooh, off the ground in order to eliminate areas where wild... You're not going to say nothing?
I'm just going to sit back and go, ooh.
Where wild animals can hide during a hunt. They also advise residents to install motion-activated lights to deter wild animals.
Activated lice? That'd deter me, but will it deter a lion?
I said install motion-activated lights.
Deter
wild animals. Drink up anyway, guys, in case I messed up. Three people have been attacked by mountain lions this year, according to KTLA. The last time someone was killed by a mountain lion was in 2004, Demon Hunter. So any trips that we take back out to LA for any business or anything, we'll have to be on the lookout, man.
These things happen, Sean. It's
an imperfect world, but it's the only one we've got.
See?
I'm ready for sex.
What was that from? I didn't get that one.
That was from Iron Man.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Sean.
Yeah?
Snow falls in Cairo for the first time in more than 100 years.
Oh, hold on. I go back to the news segment.
Never mind. Go back to finish it. I won't read mine, then.
No, go ahead. It's always hot. It's exciting. We're going to do one more story with Demon Hunter.
And snow falls in Cairo for the first time in more than 100 years. I only bring this up, Sean, because what if this is a sign of the apocalypse?
I think it is. And we don't do the zombie report now that The Walking Dead is off.
Yeah, well, you know, there are no zombies when The Walking Dead isn't on.
There is no zombies. I'm very upset by that.
Yeah. And Cairo. Oh, great. I picked a story from Cairo. Get ready to drink, folks. You know there's going to be words in here I can't read.
Is that Cairo, Indiana?
Oh, you're so funny.
I try.
Cairo has been transformed into a winter wonderland.
Huh.
For a historic storm in the Middle East brought a rare treat to Egypt's capital Friday.
Silence, if you please.
Yeah.
A blanket of powdery white snow.
Yeah.
See, we were just talking about California, where they get blankets of powdery white other stuff.
Triple dog dare you!
That's right. Due to Cairo's low rate of participation,
yeah.
Precipitation. Have a drink, folks. Drink. That wasn't even the word I thought I was going to mess up on.
And
typically above freezing weather, temperatures... Snow above freezing winters, temperatures, snow is an extremely unusual weather phenomenon for the North African city.
Oh my God.
So usually, in fact, that the so unusual, in fact, that the Los Angeles Times, citing local news reports, writes that the last recorded snowfall in Cairo was years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go for the big one, folks. Ali Abdelazima.
Yeah.
Abdelazima.
Yeah, I'm listening.
I just don't want to be cut out.
No, you're good.
An official at the city's meteorological center confirmed to the agency that and the French press that this time, the first time in many years, the snow has fallen in the Cairo area.
Right.
Okay. It just keeps saying the same thing over and over again. Where's the cool news? I was expecting apocalypse here, Sean.
Are you sure they're not?
Liar!
Exciting Egyptians took the social media Friday, photographing the unusual event. Yeah. You know, camels laying down in the snow.
Naked.
The people making snow pyramids and snow sphinxes.
Sphincters.
Right. Sphinxes.
Sphinx. The Sphinx. I like that.
Why do you
like
that, Sean? Why do you always do that?
It's,
I don't know.
I'm in the middle of a story and you jump in.
Is that what it was? Because
people ever thought.
What was that? Play it again.
Don't you people ever die?
I like that, even though I couldn't really understand it.
Don't you people ever die?
Oh! That's terrible. Demon Hunter, are you done with the news segment?
There we go.
What's that?
Houston, we have a problem?
Houston, we have a problem. I used to have that clip. Are you done with the news segment?
I'm done with the news segment.
Okay, moving right along to a G&D exclusive.
Dun-dun-dun.
Legend X series, guys. Demon Hunter, what's it all about?
What's it all about? The Legend X series is when Sean and I go out and hunt down stories that you may or may not have heard of, but you definitely haven't dug quite so deep as we try to dig for you. Oh, I messed that up.
Dig
here
deeper.
We go. Ladies and gentlemen, Legend X, where Sean and I go out across the country digging up the stories that you may or may not have heard of, but you definitely want to hear about, because every town has a legend, every town has a secret. And now, on the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show, you learn that secret with the Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Tonight's Legend X, and all month long, the Krampus.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh. That was your cue, Demon Hunter.
The Krampus?
Yeah. The Christmas Krampus.
The Christmas Krampus. Can I play the song, Sean?
I would love for you to play the song. Hold on, let's cut our song. Okay.
Because actually, you think I'd be able to pronounce
it. Haziza?
Haziga.
Yeah.
The singer of this song actually gave us permission to play it. And in fact, folks, if you go to YouTube and look up Christmas Krampus.
Wasn't that a lady that sung the song?
Yep.
She sounded
actually Hagazina. It's like Haagen-Dazs, only different.
She sounded extremely hot. Did she send you any pictures or anything like that?
She linked me up to the website, and it's a cool website.
UK? Is there any nudes or anything like that up there?
There's some stuff that made me question what she does on that website.
Is there some bondage going on?
You'll have to check it out, Sean. You'll have to check it out at... where would you check it out? You would check it out at... Actually, Hagazia, I'm just going to spell it. Actuallyhuizenga .com. And I guess it's actually... tumblr.com. It's bizarre.
For our listeners, Demon Hunter,
we do the bizarre here, and here we go. Let's just play this song.
Hold on. You didn't tell them what the Krampus is.
Well, the Krampus, Sean, everybody knows the Krampus. Yeah. The Krampus is Santa's evil playmate. Ooh. The guy who comes down out of the mountains when Santa's rewarding the good boys and girls.
Oh, my God.
To punish the bad boys and girls. Because, well, let's just play the song. That'll explain the story.
Let's do it all.
Here comes Krampus, here comes Krampus, yeah, 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 yeah. Here comes Krampus, here comes Krampus, yeah, 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 yeah. He will put you in a barrel, hit you with his sticks. Snow is falling, holly. Krampus, here comes Krampus, yeah, 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 yeah. He will stick you in his sack and throw it in the stream. Oh, Krampus.
Christmas time is Krampus time. Christmas time is Krampus time.
I love that last part with the flute and everything. Yeah.
So folks, the Krampus, we've talked a little bit about the Krampus last week, how the Krampus is Santa's evil like cohort who punishes the bad boys and girls of Eastern Europe who don't listen to mommy and daddy. They don't just get a piece of coal for Christmas. They get beaten with sticks or chains if they're really bad, or if they're really bad, the Krampus will wrap them up in a sack, drag them down to the river, and throw them into the river to die or be eaten. Right. Now, here we go, Sean, with a little bit of the history of the Krampus.
Okay.
The Krampus was actually a Eastern European, let's say Nordic, Holland, Germany, Austria, those areas. He was a pagan god.
Really? Everything's a pagan god.
Well, this is the thing. When the Catholic Church came in, they, of course, you know, changed these holiday seasons to focus more on Christian beliefs and brought in Santa Claus. Well, following the beliefs of the church, they accepted at the time St. Nicholas was actually a saint of the church.
Yeah.
So they accepted St. Nicholas, but they included the Krampus as Santa's cohort, and so the two stories melded together. They of course expanded into through Europe to where Spain has their own version of the Krampus now, known as Black Pete.
Black Pete.
Yep. And so the story just grows and grows, and now in our modern day, the Krampus is celebrated through what some call the Krampus Law, for a Krampus run, okay, where people all year long put together their Krampus costumes, dressing up as evil demons coming down from the mountain on Krampus Day to attack children. Yes, people actually bring their children to the Krampus run to be scared by the Krampus so they know to be good all year long. You're thinking this is a bizarre celebration, but it has come to the U.S., Sean.
Oh.
I've been saying for years that the United States needs to embrace the Krampus. I was suggesting that it be taken to some, you know, Pennsylvania Deutsch-style town where it has a ski lodge or something that needs to bring in the winter business. But no, it has been embraced, Sean, by California.
Oh, wow.
Of all places, you would think that the state of tolerance would not exactly want to celebrate a evil monster that comes down from the mountain to beat children, but turns out they do. Apparently, the Krampus visits Los Angeles is an article that was put out by Fear.net.
Yeah.
Where the Krampus Lauf is being celebrated in artwork.
What airline does he fly on to LA from?
I am not permitted to say, Sean.
From Switzerland, yeah.
But The Krampus is being celebrated through artwork this whole month in Los Angeles. You can find it at KrampusLosAngeles.com.
Yeah.
Or fearnot.com. But definitely, it's a month-long event in the state of California where you can check out these beloved monsters.
Yes.
In the downtown art walk area. And I guess that's our story about the Krampus this week, Sean.
The beloved monster.
The beloved monster and beater and of children.
Of children. As we show the pictures of the Krampus with a child speared through the head with his triumph. What do you call it? Triumph?
Does he have a triumph? Oh, what the heck is he doing?
All right. What is that? Rock and roll, buddy.
Oh, my gosh. That ringer was supposed to be turned off in there.
Party foul in the studio, baby. Party foul. Anyway, guys, that was the Krampus. This is Krampus Month on your Mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. Happy Krampus.
Happy Krampus Christmas.
Happy Krampus Christmas. Ooh. I don't know. You know, I thought I had found a conjuring spell for the Krampus. I was all excited. I was going to tell our listeners about it this week because, you know, we got a lot of weirdos listening to the show. And I thought,
we got a lot of weirdos to make the show.
Yeah, we got a lot of weirdos to make the show. Shadow Nation was out there, and I was going to tell them how to conjure the Krampus. But I looked it up, and apparently it's a game.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like a game they play in, I don't know, Switzerland, somewhere in the UK. I bet Zombina and the Skeletons know all about the Krampus.
I bet they do.
I bet they do. I wonder if they'll do, hey, Zombina, if you're listening, babe, let's do a song about the Krampus. That would rock.
There needs to be more Krampus, folks.
There does.
The Krampus just does not get enough respect.
I want to get a statue. There's a little statue out there. If any of the Shadow Nation is listening, it's about $124. And if you Google the Krampus, we'd really love to have one here in the studio, Demon Hunter, wouldn't we?
The Krampus is my hero. I actually have a beautiful piece of artwork that I'll send you a picture of next week, Sean, which is called Yes, Virginia, There Is a Krampus. So
Yes, Virginia. Oh, wow.
Yep, there is a Krampus.
Krampus wouldn't make it long in Virginia. I'm thinking they'd tag him out like they tried.
No, Virginia.
To.
Like, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus, the famous New York Times story. Never mind.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not hip to your propaganda.
My propaganda?
Yes, your fancy pants propaganda.
Demon,
huh? Demon Hunter, the time is 7:56. I think we should go ahead and take the break right now and play tonight's band and bring on tonight's guest. Of course, from Rob Zombie's House of a Thousand Corpses, The Devil's Rejects, winner of the 2010 Igor Awards, and the prestigious Premi Maria Honorifica Award.
Your screen, I ain't reading it.
Yeah, I know. That's a tough one. He's been in over 60 films, 350 television episodes. Tonight, we take you back in the shadows, backstage, to ask actor extraordinaire Sid Haig what is going on, what new stuff he's working on, and talk about some of the old projects he's been on. Tonight, on your Mystifying Oracle Radio, your G&D show. Sid Haig, Demon Hunter.
That sounds awesome.
All right, the time 7:57, guys. Tonight's band will be Zombina and the Skeletones. You can find out more about them at just Google Zombina and the Skeletones. Here we go, Demon Hunter. We'll be right back, guys.
Scary way.
Is it just me? Or is it?
Enjoy yourselves. Oh my God.
I am not your savior.
Hey, welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only Mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. Tonight's band, Zombina and the Skeletones, guys. Find out more about them at zombinaandtheskeletones.com. Make sure you support local music. Independent bands, guys. They're tomorrow's superstars. Demon Hunter!
Sean, aren't they from the UK? How local are they?
Well, we're all local. We're all neighbors.
International superstorm. So I guess wherever we go, it's local. We're huge in Manila.
Yeah. They love us in China, especially the countries that don't speak the English language. We're huge superstars. But tonight's guest, Demon Hunter.
I'm waiting.
Shadow Nation, winner of the Universal Igor Award for Lifetime Achievement and many more. Over 60 films he's been in, 350 television episodes. He's worked with such iconic directors as Quentin Tarantino, Roger Corman, and Rob Zombie. Please help us welcome to the main stage the coolest guy I've ever met, Mr. Sid Haig. Sid, what's going on, brother?
Hey, how's it going?
Nothing bad. I can't, you know, I can't lead this off, Demon Hunter. I'm stoked. Sid came on. Sid, you were on our pals radio show a long time ago, Ghostly Talk. They got to sit with you on the set of Little Big Top here in my hometown of Indiana. Huge fan. You've inspired us to do film. We love you, man.
Well, I love you back.
Well, I tell you what, Demon Hunter, I tell you, you've been, I can't even pronounce it. I'm so in awe tonight. But the Prima Maria Honorifica was one of the awards you won in 2010, was it?
Yeah, that was a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Sitges Film Festival, which is the largest horror, sci-fi, fantasy film festival in the world. There were like over 100,000 people there.
Wow.
And it was absolutely insane. They were doing screenings from like 8 o'clock in the morning until 2 o'clock the next morning. And it was like 10 days of that. It was crazy.
Now, I followed your work for a long time. My dad was a huge fan, all the way back in the days of Spider Baby, which is what stuff like that I grew up on. And your Star Trek episodes, The Dukes of Hazzard, a lot of stuff that you have done. And, you know, we prepared, Demon Hunter, we prepared a long time for this interview, didn't we?
We did. Sean called me and said, okay, Sig Haig is coming on. I got the okay. You better be ready. So basically, I spent the last 3 days making sure I was ready. And I was telling Sean earlier that my wife loves suspense movies, but she was never the horror film fan. So when I first mentioned you, I have to admit, my wife wasn't really sure who you were until I said that you'd been on MacGyver, in which case her eyes popped open and she went, really? And that was her connection to you. You affected her childhood, so...
Yeah, all right. Well, cool.
Well, hey, Sid.
I did two MacGyvers, as a matter of fact.
Well, I got the pictures up right now of you from Star Trek, you talking to Boss Hogg from the Dukes of Hazzard, Star Trek, and Spider Baby, of course. You know, I tried to prepare, Sid, and I know guys have asked you 1,000 of the same old tired-ass questions, and I wanted to do something different so we would stick in your mind, because I'm a huge fan of you and your work. And, you know, no one ever seems to ask you about what happened when you were a kid. What was it when you grew up in the Romanian community, I believe it, Fresno, California, with your father being an electrician?
Not Romanian, Sean. Armenian.
No, I'm sorry, Armenian community. When you grew up out there, what was it that you caught the acting bug? How did you get that?
It was just a natural progression. I wish I could give you some kind of flowery story, but I can't. growing up as a kid, I was just plain clumsy. And, you know, like I trip over a dime.
Right.
And back then, the only thing that parents knew to do with their clumsy kids was to sign them up for dance class, which they did. And I loved it. I just thought it was the greatest thing in the world. And one thing led to another, and by the time I was 7 years old, I was getting paid to dance, actually.
Wow.
And then when I was about 9 years old, my parents got tired of me denting up all of the pots and pans in the house, and they bought me a used drum set. So, you know, it went from dance to music, and from music to acting, and basically I don't like the work.
Well, so, you could have fooled me, because you've done just about everything.
Yeah, I've done it. I've done pretty much everything. You're right.
What haven't you gotten to do that you wanted to do?
If you
don't like this work, what did you want to do?
There's a ton of things that I would have liked to have done or would still like to do. Mainly, you know, and still within the area of acting. And or directing. I mean, I've, you know, been tapped on the shoulder several times by people wanting me to direct their film or whatever, and it's just never happened because they don't know how to raise money.
Right.
So, since that's the thing that makes everything work, you know, it hasn't happened yet.
Has anyone walked up to you and said, I want to see Sig Haig play Macbeth?
Well, no. But I did play Othello.
I saw that. I was a Shakespeare fan, I saw that. I was just blown away. And really what made me upset is that I haven't seen it.
No, will you ever see it, because I did it on stage.
Right, but I mean, there was no way to catch it. So for someone my age, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, Sig Haig in Othello. Why didn't that happen where I was when I needed to see it?
Yeah, well, you were probably just a glint in your father's eye about that time.
I'm pretty sure my father hadn't glinted me yet, so.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So, there you go, see.
Hey, but, Sid.
Are there any turns to the wheel that you see anything like that happening in your future, a return to the stage for Sig Haig?
I don't know. Perhaps. You know, I take it as it comes. Okay.
One
thing that I've learned not to do is push. So, you know, it's just, if the natural progression is that that's what happens, then great, and I'll be there and I'll be ready. But you know, I don't plan on anything happening. Just because a lot of times when you do that, it just has a way of not happening. So just kind of take it as it comes and just roll with it, man.
Roll with the dice, baby. I tell you what, Sid, brother, the reason you stuck in my heart was because in 1992, after all these years of acting, you had the balls to stand up and say, you know what? I want to do something else. And you stepped away. And you just started doing what you wanted to do. You're for the, what we always say, love of the game, not the fame, baby. And you're, after all the people we've had on the show, we've had some great people, but you're the one that could care less about the fame and the bright lights and the way you just stepped up in 92 and you said, you know what, goodbye. And you stepped out and you disappeared for a long time. And then, of course, you came back. What were you doing when you stepped away in 92 and how big a decision was that for you and the family?
You know, I had just, for so many years, been doing the same thing over and over and over again. I was horribly typecast. You know, oh, we need a guy to wave a gun in somebody's face. Well, get Sid Haig. Okay, he does that.
Right.
And I just got so tired of it that just for my own sanity, I just had to step away and say, you know what? I'm going to wait for somebody to get smart and figure out that I can do more than that. And we'll just see, you know, how it goes. And Quentin Tarantino got smart and called me one day. I still, to this day, don't know how he got my phone number. Quentin Tarantino, it's like you're the CIA, you know.
Right.
I said, hey, okay. And, that led to Jackie Brown, and but still nothing happened. And so, you know, just waited around. And of course, I had to make a living while I was, you know, standing my ground, if you will.
Yeah.
And so I had done a lot of home study in psychology, just to better prepare a character, you know?
Yeah.
Get that psychological vibe going. And so I looked for something in that area, and I knew I didn't have 10 years to spend to become a psychiatrist, but I was drawn to hypnotherapy. And
yeah.
At the age of, I think I was 59 or 60 or something like that, I got a student loan and went back to school and became a hypnotherapist.
Wow.
Yeah.
What do you, hey,
internship and
Sid, you brought up a good point with hypnotherapy. A lot of people don't know how that works. What do you think about that? How does it work? And what about past life regression and all that stuff, if you deal with that at all? Or if you, I'm sure you've been around it.
Yes, I've dealt with that before. hypnotherapy is great. It works. You know, the thing about hypnotizing, you know, people say, oh, my God, you learned how to hypnotize people. Yeah, that was in, like, the first 20 minutes of the first class. Okay. It's easy to learn how to hypnotize people.
Right.
The tricky part is to learn what to do with them once you've got them there.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that, you know, I spent probably 1,700 hours with extended study and whatnot to learn how to do it, to be good at my craft.
Jeez.
And I am.
Right. Now, is that, do you have problems like now if you, you know, you tell somebody, a hypnotherapist, and they come sit down and they're like, oh my God, this is this is Captain Spaulding, or, you know, the cat from, you know, The Devil's Rejects. Do you ever run into that? Do you ever run into fans just coming to you going, hey, I want Captain Spaulding to, you know, hypnotize me?
No.
No?
Nope. Never had it happen.
Okay.
That, see, that amazes me, because the fact that Sean and I, because we travel around and dig up stories about, you know, everything from, you know, Bigfoot to, you know, there's trolls living under our house kind of stories. When we show up at a party, everybody wants us to tell them the stuff going on. It just amazes me that you have this, like, whole qualification behind you, and people don't misunderstand it to the point where they say, you're Sig Haig. Can you make my friend Charlie here squawk like a chicken?
Yeah, see, I don't do that. That's the one thing that has given hypnotherapy a bad name, if you will.
Right.
Is the stage hypnosis, because that's what everybody thinks about. You know, oh, this guy's going to make me, you know, walk like a duck.
Right.
No, I don't make you do anything. I just help you to achieve what it is that you want to with your life.
Yeah.
Hypnotherapists don't make people do anything, okay? You know, if you ever gone to a hypnosis show, like, you know, that where they actually, you know, do make people do stupid things.
I've seen them, Sid. I've never been to one. Always wanted to.
Well, it's like the first 5 minutes, the guy's got like a little stand-up comedy routine going. But what he's doing while he's doing his little routine,
yeah,
he's searching the audience for likely candidates, okay, for his hypnosis part of the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's looking for certain traits in people, and it's all once you know what's going on, it's really easy to kind of pick people out and say, yeah, this guy would be a good subject to get up on stage. And then you just kind of maneuver things around so that person feels okay with getting up on stage and having you make a fool out of him.
Right.
You know, that's basically the way it works.
Now, as a hypnotherapist, have you ever done past life regression with people where they were trying to pull out, or not past life, I'm sorry, but, you know, past experience regression, where they're trying to remember something from their past that they can't remember, and you help them bring that memory back?
That's a very slippery slope to get involved with, and I'll tell you why. Because sometimes those things are situations that really aren't going to be beneficial to the person. Okay? It's much better to try to get that person to tell you what it is that he or she wants to achieve.
Yeah.
Okay? Ah.
And it could be, you know, something as simple as anger management, for instance, okay?
Yeah.
Which a lot of people could
yeah.
But that whole idea of past life regression or just the bad part is when they want to, you know, take something that's happened to them in their recent past and try to relive that, and that really doesn't do any good for anything. It's just, you know, it's like hitting somebody in the head with a hammer. Okay, how many times do you have to get hit in the head with a hammer before you realize that it's not going to do you any good?
Yeah.
I usually don't have to be hit with a hammer more than 3 times.
And then you figure out, well, you know what, this ain't working.
That's it.
It's best to just leave that kind of stuff alone.
Well, you know, Sid, going back to your...
Come to it through a different avenue.
Going back to some of the stuff you do besides being an awesome actor, you're a ceramicist. You do bonsai trees. You do a lot of things that seem, when you stepped away from acting, that are the kind of things that center someone's soul, kind of define themselves. Was that why you got involved in this stuff? You stepped away and said, man, I got to check with myself and see what's going on here?
Well, to a certain extent, I mean, I was involved in bonsai work long before, you know, I stepped away from the humdrum of what it was that I was doing.
Right.
I'm kind of a funny guy. When I get bored, I go learn how to do something.
I wish I had that problem.
So that's the way I work. Oh, I'm bored. Okay, let's go do something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So far, it's worked out. And, I've learned how to do a lot of different kind of things.
Well, talking about your drumming background, when you were a kid, started out, you're an amazing musician when it comes to the drums, man. You actually did the Full House album for the T-Birds. What was that like? Did you tour with them for a while?
That was my band.
So you started the T-Birds?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
See, I thought that, Sean. Remember, we were talking before the show, and the funny thing was, when Sean and I first started discussing having you on, I said, I thought I knew Sig as a musician before I knew him as an actor.
Right. Well, I remember my dad used to have, he used to listen to T-Bird's music. I forget what songs, but how long did you stay with them, Sid? Or did you stay with the band before you let it go?
We got signed to a contract with Keen Records, which was the company that Sam Cooke was recording for.
Yeah.
A year out of high school, 1958, and started touring, doing all of that stuff, and never made a dime, okay?
Jesus.
And even as young as I was still kind of goal-oriented, if you will, and realized that this was going absolutely nowhere. The record company was making all the money. We weren't making anything.
Right.
And this was not what I wanted to do with my life. So I just backed away from that. And, it's knowing when to back off, you know.
Yeah.
When to hold them, know when to fold them.
Okay. Kenny Rogers.
A lot of truth behind that.
Yeah.
It was easy to walk away from because I wasn't receiving any gratification from what it was that I was doing, you know, it was great performing for, you know, in front of large crowds and all that stuff, but you can only have so much fun, you know. And,
Yeah.
At some point, you're going to have to start making some money.
Hey, when you got picked up for the Dukes of Hazzard stuff like that, was that just a way of life out there? I mean, they had open casting calls when you're in California and you go in and you audition for it. They call you.
They were calling me.
Right.
At that point in time, and that was great. It's great to get the call and say, we want today. Okay. Well, yeah. Okay, come up with the money, and you got them.
Right.
That's it. That worked out really well. And sometimes just crazy, crazy things happen. Crazy things happen to crazy people, since I'm a crazy person. Happened to me. I once went in for an audition. I was getting called, but every once in a while, you got to go in and dance the dance.
Yeah.
So it was for a B-series called Captain Dice. The producer was Buck Henry.
Okay.
And I knew from different people and reports on things that he was like almost as crazy as me. Which is good. And so I had that leg up. And I went into the office, and I was the only guy in the waiting room. And the casting director was someone that I knew. And the office door was open a crack. And the casting director was talking to Mark Henry, and he said, he said, hey, this great man, he could do comedy and drama and Shakespeare and blah, blah, blah. And he's going on and on. On a big selling job. And Buck Henry said, just bring the guy in, okay? So he said, yeah. So he opened the door and said, shit, come on in. And Buck Henry walked around from the back of his desk to shake hands with me. And I grabbed his hand and did it. I just grabbed his hand and went, ah, rah, rah, rah. And he pulled away and he said, that's it. Just call the guy's agent. He's got it.
This guy's nuts.
All you have to do sometimes is just out crazy the crazy guy.
That's it. And act. I found acting normal. It seems like people try to act so hard to be something they're not. And with you, in my opinion, that's why you're so amazing as an actor, because you're normal. You're crazy, but you're real. You're more real than anybody I've ever seen, any actor out there. And, out of A House of 1,000 Corpses, The Devil's Rejects, amazing Rob Zombie films where you were Captain Spaulding and you spot on, brother. I mean, you knocked it out of the ballpark. But I got to tell you, one of my favorites is Little Big Top. And it's not just because I'm from Indianapolis and I'm close to Peru and everything. But, how did you prepare for that? I know we're running short on time and everything, but it showed your personality, I think. It showed there. It was more personal with you. Can you talk about Little Big Top a little bit and what that was like?
Yeah, that was great. I had an opportunity to actually show my wares, if you will.
Yeah.
I was extremely appreciative of that fact. And I don't know. It just, I work organically. Everything comes from inside me. And so I just had to find that Seymour Smiles that lived inside me.
Right.
Bring him out. That's what I do with everything that I do. I start with who I am and find that person that I have to be that's inside me and bring them out. And with characters like Captain Spaulding, I just, at the end of the day, have to remember to put them back. It could get pretty nasty.
Yeah. I know that scene in Little Big Top, and it sticks out in my head. You were staring in the mirror, and you're kind of tilting your head to the side like a Forrest Gump thing or something. You're thinking about how you want your face to be. Because your daddy and your grandpappy, they always had the clown faces, and you always followed what they did. And the kids said, hey, man, you know, it must suck to not have your own face. So you're looking in the mirror, and I thought, you know, I bet that's how Sid prepares for the character. Is that how you get ready for one? You just kind of stare in the mirror and say, all right, let's do this?
No, the one thing that I learned very early on was to not do anything in front of a mirror except shave. Because you start mimicking yourself, you know?
Right.
And that's a no-no. That's bad. I don't do that.
I just remember, and I got to throw this out there because I have to throw it out. What a huge fan I was of Spider Baby, and you know that role that you played. I'm sitting there. I was telling Sean how much that role meant to me, and I was trying to find a specific scene that I remembered where you were like. It took place with the dumb waiter, and I forget what the whole scene was about, but I was trying to find it to play it for Sean, and all I could find was the scene where the girl comes up to knock on the door, and she turns around, and you're just standing there, and you reach out and just groan. And it was at that point I realized Sig does more with his face than most of us can do with our words.
Well, thank you for that. I don't know. That was probably one of the most difficult roles that I had to play because I had no reference. There's no, you know, reference for that kind of behavior. And I was having a tough time finding that person that is inside me. And I just, you know, let it fly at one point. I said, well, here we go, you know. Fasten your seat belts. Keep your hands in the car at all times.
That's kind of what you did as Captain Spaulding when they went through the murder ride. Keep your hands down. Keep them in the car.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, Sid, the hour's upon us. I don't want to keep you out late, sir. Could you stay on the line for a couple seconds while we close?
Sure.
Well, I just want to tell you, there you are, bar none, sir. Second to none. As an actor, from The Devil's Rejects to The House of 1,000 Corpses, Little Big Top and Spider Baby, you stole America's hearts. I know you have mine, and I respect you as an actor and as a person. And thank you so much for coming on, Sid.
All right. Well, thank you.
And I would just like to say, Sean, since we just got done discussing Spider Baby and, again, how much it means to me, I can't imagine how the method didn't help you prepare for an inbred, mentally handicapped, murdering monster, Sid. How could you just not find that?
He wasn't handy.
I was absent that day.
All right, Sid, stay on the line for a couple seconds, brother, okay?
Okay.
All right, there's the closing music, Demon Hunter.
And I don't want to go, Sean. I don't want to go.
I know. That was Sid Haig, guys. Special thanks to tonight's guest. That's a big one for me. Sid Haig, guys, from House of 1,000 Corpses, The Devil's Rejects, and much, much more. Tonight's band, Zombina and the Skeletones. Make sure to check those out at zombinaandskeletones.com, guys. Midnight Syndicate, thanks for the tunes. And Creations by Souls Denounce. Check them out at soulsdenounce.com. You ready for this, DemonHunter.com? Hey, from the haunted backroads of America, this has been another Spook Show G&D exclusive interview. Don't go changing America. You know we won't. Demon Hunter!
Because we love you.
Night, guys.